Well, I have a microphone. Good morning. The last time I spoke here, I spoke about some things that happened to me that God told me, and they were specifically the most important thing. And I know it's the most important thing because God said it was. And sometimes I get a little emotional when I hear about what God is doing and what he did for me. But the most important thing is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, all thy mind and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So how do you love God? It is our job as Christians. You know what? It's not our job as Christians to sit on our butts and complain about what God is doing. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get busy and talk about and believe how important God is and the seriousness of what he's doing. I don't know if any of you listened to the news lately. Alta and I have watched some news, and it's been quite a while, and the adversary is doing a lot of things. It's not our job to let the adversary do it. It's our job to turn people to God. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, how do you do that? Very simple. You talk to God throughout your day. You tell him anything and everything. Is he happy to hear all about you? Well, absolutely. We heard it in manifestations this morning. She didn't think that up. God told her to say that, and she said it. It came from God. He loves us. He cares for us. He does stuff for us, and he wants to hear all about us. Does he know all about us? Well, yeah. But we're supposed to tell them anyways. That's the deal. That's how you learn to love God. We are supposed to teach people to love God, train people to love God, and show people how to love God. Why? Well, we've got a number of things going in this world that point exactly to that. And when we are walking with God, when we are talking to God throughout our day, sometimes we have to shut up and listen. And then, whatever he tells you to do, you have to do that. Do that. Last time I was talking, I talked about me being in the Navy, having orders. The orders in all capitals, bold letters, said, you will do this thing. You know what God said about loving him? Thou shalt. That's not a suggestion. That's an order. Do it. When God tells you to do something, do it. How do we go about doing that? Well, we're going to get into it later, but we are to be living sacrifices, not dead. At not complaining, living sacrifices. We give up our wants and desires and do God's wants and desires. That's the thing. Turn to Genesis. I got a couple of places I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to Genesis. I'm going to go to Romans. So start in Genesis chapter 6. We've heard an awful lot of things that the adversary's been doing in the world today. Not going to go over all of that, but suffice it to say he's doing it, but he hasn't been able to do it throughout all history. Why? Well, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is talking about the days of Noah and the flood that flooded the entire world all the way up to the tops of the mountains. It says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what the adversary wants for the world today. Only evil continually. Well, what happened? That basically caused the flood. And then what happened? Those devil spirits that caused that flood are in chains today. And guess what? When Christ comes back, there will be more devil spirits in chains. Will they be able to do anything? Not when they're in chains, they won't. Will we be able to do anything? Yes, we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, and we can do what God tells us to do. Well, some people go with, well, what would Jesus do? You know, you've heard this WWJD. My question is not what would he do, what did he do? He went around doing what God told him to do. His whole thrust, his whole work was to do the will of him that sent him, of God who sent him. And what do you see that he did? Well, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he cast out devil spirits. If God tells you to heal the sick, don't question it, just go do it. Raise the dead, cast out devil spirits, just go do it. What do you need to be able to do that? Instruction from God. That's what you need. God tells you, go cast out that devil spirit. Or even more often, God will tell you, go talk to that person. And you go, well, what am I going to say? You know what God's going to tell you? Chances are, you ask God, what are you going to say? Tell him you don't know what to say. He's going to tell you, I'm going to tell you what to say when you get there. And he will. Absolutely. And you will make a huge difference in that person's life. You know, we have the accidental thing that goes down and prays for people. Yeah, makes a big difference. Not just in those people's lives, but in San Diego, in California, in the United States. And we have things going on in our world that try to keep us from doing that. Specifically, the devil is sending people. I don't know if you know all this, and it's not important that you know it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The devil is sending people literally to kill Jews, Christians, and Americans. Muslims are invading Africa and the United States and Australia to do exactly that. Communists are killing Christians in communist China and in North Korea. And there are other places in the world where the adversary is trying to harm people and take them away from God. That's what the adversary wants to do. How does he do that? Well, basically, he gets people to go along with him. How's the easiest way to get somebody to go along with you if you're the devil? Send a devil spirit. What do the devil spirits do? Well, we have brain cells. And between each two brain cells, we have a thing called a synapse. You've heard of synapses before? They function in one of two ways. Well, they actually function in both ways, but not at the same time. A synapse can transmit the information from one brain cell to another by two methods. The one is making things happen on the cellular level. It's basically chemical. Some chemical happens in the synapse, and that thought is transferred from that one cell to another, and it goes around your brain wherever it's supposed to go. Who decides where does it go? You do, basically. Until the devil spirit comes along and reroutes it. The other way it can happen it could be transferred electrically. Electrical impulse appears in one cell and moves to another. What does the devil do? He has people transferring their thoughts to the wrong place. Your thoughts are supposed to go where you could receive them, where you could trust them, where you could believe them. But where do thoughts go in many people's mind because of devil spirits? They go someplace where the person winds up thinking that the good is really evil and evil is really good that he must do. That happens. It happens all over the world. It happens in the U.S. It happens all over the world. That's why people wind up killing people, especially Jews, Christians, and Americans. Those are the three targets of the adversary today. How do we stop that? Well, sometimes we cast devil spirits out. Sometimes we simply teach and train people how to love God and show them how to do it. That's the most important thing. The most important thing in our lives is not what song we put up on the board or what kind of thing we do here necessarily. It's we need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the most important thing. And God pressed that on me when I was in the rehab facility. And he flat out told me that's the most important thing. And guess what? He's right. It is. I talked about some of the things that are going on. We can't stop them just thinking about them. We ask God what to do. And we do it. With friends, with enemies, with everybody. We do what God tells us to do. Criminals from other countries have come to our nation to rob, rape, and murder. Some criminals coerce our children into taking poisonous drugs or committing suicide, and sometimes they do it with an app on their phone. And the kid commits suicide, and you wonder why. Well, that's because the adversary has an influence, and he doesn't need that anymore. He didn't need it in the first place. He still doesn't need it. We need the influence to get people to love God. Some people coerce us into protecting those criminals and quote-unquote protesting against federal law enforcement and causing them harm. And really, what we're actually doing is we are actually rioting when we do that. Not what God wants us to do. That's not our goal at all. But what does God want us to do? Teach people and train people to love God and show them how to do it. So here you are on doing the Acts Now thing. And what do? Well, you talk to people. You pray for them. You do whatever God tells you to do. That's what you're to do.
Jeffrey, over here. Why don't you close out with that verse in Romans, okay? We've got a couple other guys.
I will. Just give me a couple of seconds here.
Okay.
You cannot love your neighbor when you're protecting those who will harm him or her. We got no business doing the things the world is telling us to do. We need to do what God tells us to do. So what do we Christians do about it? Exactly what God tells us to do. God wants us to teach and train people to love God and their neighbors and show them how to do it. God may also tell us to cast out devil spirits and maybe see to it that evil people are deported, including those who hate America and Americans. Maybe he'll tell us to do that. If he doesn't tell you to do it, don't bother. If he tells you to do it, go do it. And God may also tell us how to help other countries. Look at Romans chapter 11. verse 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Whereas you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." We are to show mercy to people. People need to obtain God's mercy. How are they going to do it? We bless them. We show them mercy. We teach them how to love God. God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out." Those are not things we're supposed to worry about. God says, "I'm going to do this." And what do? We say, "Okay, great. What do you want me to do?" That's what I asked God when I was in the rehab facility. You know what he told me? "Write it down and teach it." I said, "Well, where do I find that in the Word?" You know what he said? "Look it up." So I did. Chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." If you're not doing that, if you're doing some other kind of service, that other kind of service is probably unreasonable. It's reasonable that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You give up your thoughts, your desires, your whatever it is you've got, and you do what God tells you to do. Because he knows. God knows what he's doing. Absolutely. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think," King James adds the word "of himself," scratch him out, "not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." If you're thinking your ideas are more correct than God's, you're definitely thinking more higher than you ought to think. What's the most important thing? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Your ideas, you need to make them subservient to what God tells you to do, and do what God tells you to do by your own free will choice. You do that.
Amen, brother.
All Galatians. Thanks. Well, I got a couple more things to read, if I may.
Well, you've said so much.
I got a couple things to read. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We're not supposed to serve ourselves. We're supposed to, by love, serve one another. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You're going to find this in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and here it is in Galatians. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision, an action. And let me tell you one other thing about it. The more you think about your bad situation, the worse it will get. What do you think about? What God has done for you? We heard it in the manifestations this morning. God wants to take care of us. God wants to help us. He wants to bless us. He's not into making us go through a bad situation. So think what God has to say. Do what God has to say. Do God's word. And how do we do it? Well, I'll tell you one way that we can do it. We got Acts Now Fellowship. Some people think that's not that big a deal. I'll guarantee you it is. What's happening in the world today? Well, here in these United States, young people are turning to God in droves. There's a big move to go to church. But what are we going to teach them? The standard churchianity that we've had all our life? No, we're going to teach them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And their neighbor as himself. What's the most important thing? That's it. Is it more important to do other things? Nope. That's the most important thing. So that's what we do. And we follow what God has to say here and around the world. Bless you, Bob. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. A lot to take on here. I got two other gentlemen that have been patient waiting, and I'd be blessed to have them share. I know you will want to hear what they have to say in light of 2026. So, Al, you're on, brother.
This was not part of what I was going to share, but God put this on my heart to express it to you guys. Everything we do in life, aside from God's will, is not going to last. It's going to wither away. It's going to fade away. But when we do what God tells us, it's for all eternity. Amen? Well, we heard Jeffrey touch on this. I start out by saying my expectations, and not just for 26, but for 25, 43, and on back and forward, is giving my life as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And having loving fellowships with my beautiful wife, Shati. That's not going to stop. Accomplishments. As far as accomplishments go, those I've done and those that I plan on doing, it's not by me, myself, and I, but it's by God in Christ in me. And that's what I focus on. Conversations with my Heavenly Father on doing what's best for His family, all of y'all, and not what I'm tempted to do, so that I will see profitable results, and I have. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Thank you. I want to go to three little notes that I found on exactly what is this New Year's thing that everybody hollers about. I can tell you right now, it's not in the Bible. Okay? Don't mean to rain on your parade. But one of them says ancient texts show similar sentiments like Sumerian greetings around 1800 BC. That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. A new year's rejoicing the year and the heart, or Latin wishes for a prosperous year in the first century. The next one is the calendar standardization, like the adoption of January 1st as New Year's Day by the Romans and later Gregorian calendar, standardized in the date of those celebrations. And the modern expression says, the modern phrase Happy New Year gained widespread use in the 19th century, spread by New Year's cards. No offense, sweetheart. So, growth is what I'm looking forward to in the one body with the help of who? Almighty God. That's what I want, continued growth. We never stop growing. There's so much room for that. So, I'd like you to grab your Bibles And how about we start with the newness, speaking of New Year's, with the newness God talks about, the day at hand. So really, it shouldn't be Happy New Year. It should be, Lord, thank you for creating this day, this day. And I'd like for you to go to Psalms 118:24, please. This is how we back things up. It's not me, it's Almighty God. Psalms 118:24. This is the day the Lord hath made. Not the year, not the century. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will what? And what? Are you? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. But that's what God put in my heart. He says, the year that's coming, it'll take care of itself. What about today? You're not living tomorrow even. You're living today. And I want to be glad and rejoice in it and do what I can for him. For I am a living sacrifice. Talk about new. Please go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or since any man be in Christ, he is a what creature? New. Okay? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? Thank you. Happy New Year, right? All things are become new. Go to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22, and we'll look at 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are what? How often? And great is his what? Again, forget Happy New Year. It's that day, it's that morning that they are new. You don't wake up and experience next week. You wake up and experience today, and they are new. Every morning we wake up like fresh bread coming out the oven. Something my Heavenly Father has been reminding me about in my personal life, and that is, don't entertain the old man. Don't entertain the old man and his temptations. We all have been tempted in our own way. We all have been tempted in our own way. Because when I followed God's instructions, I have noticed soon afterwards, his blessings as a result. Praise God. Praise God. Because in life, there's temptations that have come my way, and I'll be honest with you, I've thought about doing them. I said, yeah, you know, this is all like this. But God taps me on my heart, and my mind says, don't do that. You know. You know already that you shouldn't do that. And when I don't, boom, I start receiving these blessings and fruit, both at work and at home. And I'm sure you guys have experienced that. So that's when you're doing it the right way. And now, please go to Ephesians chapter 4, 22. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 22. Some sound advice from God. That you put off concerning the former conversation, your former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be what? Renewed. So this newness of God is much bigger than Happy New Year. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the what man? Right, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, the right way to live, and true holiness. Let me close with some New Year's quotes that I thought were pretty cool. The first one goes like this. Tomorrow is the first blank page of a 365-page book. Write a good one. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right. And the way we do that is with God. Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be more blessed. And finally, the secret of change is to focus all of our energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Amen? Thank you.
Thank you, Al. All right, finally we have Daniel. Daniel, come on up here and share your heart, brother.
All right, bless your hearts, everybody. I want to kind of share. I was going to share on something completely different, and at this point I forgot what that was. But God is good, isn't he? I want to share on something I'm calling a 2026 vision of total healing. Kind of sounds like that phrase that Wagner came up, a Gesamtkunstwerk, right? A total work of art. But this year, I think we should focus on a total work of healing. I will start off by sharing some unfortunate news. My dad, as you all know him, very loving, faithful man of God, is currently in the hospital. He's a couple nights ago, he had some troubles with his legs and getting up and going to the restroom, so we had to help him out, and we just kind of figured that it was the right thing to go get that checked out. So they did some tests. They did a CAT scan, and apparently they did find some signs of a stroke that occurred. The doctor says that there's some minor damage, so I believe nothing that can't be addressed with occupational therapy and things like that. The doctor says that the damage is old, so the stroke had already occurred months or even years ago. Kind of incredible how that stuff all works, but that's where he's at now. He's at the Kaiser Hospital on Zion. So we're going to continue to lift him up, but this kind of inspired, God kind of put this on my heart. How many kinds of healing can somebody go through? And I know we focus on the physical wholeness, which is also very important. But there are some other kinds of healing that I think we should be concerned about as well. And I'm going to talk about a few things real quick. The first thing is spiritual healing. Oh my goodness. The greatest wound to mankind in history was that separation from God. That was the greatest wound. The greatest spiritual wound that mankind ever went through, I'll say it again, was separation from God at the beginning of time. But of course, the greatest healing that mankind received was through the finished and accomplished work of Jesus Christ. Right? Amen. When God restored that spiritual connection. And here we are today. We still stand with our feet firmly on the ground because of what we have at our disposal. So I want to read Psalm 147, verse of scripture here. And in verse 3, it simply says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Kind of straightforward there. Another thing, many of us carry a lot of different things. We carry things like fear, maybe subconsciously. Some of us carry fear of rejection and abandonment, fear of loss, overthinking. Overanalyzing every single detail. I think that's a pretty common human experience at one point or another. Exhaustion, the list goes on and on. But God does something that I find so fascinating. He speaks directly to the mind. And I think we could all quote 2 Timothy 1:7, standing on our head backwards, riding down a hill on a tricycle, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What a breath of fresh air that is. Next up, emotional healing. I'm going to be honest, I think we bypass this quite a bit. We tell people, oh, just get over it. Don't forget the past. Don't think about the past. I think oftentimes emotional wounds they last a lot longer than physical wounds do. Okay, we break a leg, break our bones, and you know, we rest for however long the doctor tells us to rest, and then God does his work, and then we move on with our lives. But healing from the past, healing from things that have occurred in the past, is just as, if not more important, than physical healing. I carry a lot of things myself. I carry a lot of unfounded fears myself. I myself carry fears of rejection, fears of loss, fears of being abandoned. Not going to go into detail of why that those things might be. But those are things that I'm asking God to completely take care of this year, once and for all. Because God is not surprised by any of this. And he certainly, by any stretch of the imagination, he's certainly not intimidated by any of it. Psalm 34. Verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be the contrite spirit. God draws near. God does not pull away. And finally, let's talk about it, physical wholeness. Isaiah 53, this is a blueprint, I would say, a blueprint verse for our physical wholeness. Isaiah 53, verse 5, yep. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, it's nice to read this, right? But do we actually believe it? Do we actually utilize the what I call the unused power that we actually possess? And that's a challenge I'm going to put us up to. When we got something going on, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, let's face it head on, shall we? Because at the end of the day, they're all attacks from the adversary. None of this stuff comes from the Heavenly Father. None of it. So let's face it head on. Because we have a name that has been spoken probably millions of times throughout history. And every time I hear it, it sounds even sweeter. And that's the name Jesus Christ. Does it just have a sweet ring to it? Oh. I'm going to close out in 3 John. 3 John, all the way at the end here. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd. Peter, 1st, 2nd. 3 John, verse 2. Actually, maybe it was a different verse. It sounds nice, so I'm going to read it anyway. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. There it is. That's the one I was looking for. Even as thy soul prospereth. I'll say it one more time. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as thy soul prospereth. So, in 2026, we will stand up to all the attacks of the adversary. And we will claim total works of healing in all areas of our lives. There's a lot that the Christian church has to break free from. I see it more than the outside world, in a way. And I think we tend to mask it, right? We tend to put on a mask. Oh, we're strong. We're Christians. We can... God never told us that we had to carry everything by ourselves. And he certainly never encouraged us to just brush things under the rug. No, he... There are countless scriptures that talk about using your authority, putting on the full armor of God, our power of attorney, using that name of Jesus Christ. But my encouragement is to specifically go against all these things with that incredible power that we've been given. You guys with me? Amen. God bless your hearts.
Thank you, Daniel. Wonderful. Wow. You know, you've heard from 3 wonderful men of God some great insights that have covered a wide range of man's experience. And some great things for us to think about in this new year. So thank you very much for sharing, guys, opening your heart. Beautiful. Let me close out with a verse that's my theme for this year, my personal theme. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. Amen? Amen. So, Father, thank you for loving us and giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, for that new birth spirit that we have. We pray for your continued guidance and wisdom in our life, and we know you want so bad to communicate with us and guide our steps, and so we're just going to trust in you, Father. We're just going to listen to you, and we know that you will work mightily in all of our lives as we trust in you. Thank you for this new year that we have to look forward to, fellowshipping with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you all.